Thank you. I'm glad you were just holding up journals. I thought it was a no vote. No, we don't want him to speak. I thought, what am I going to do now? So thank you, President Kush. And I might just mention that this is really sweet for Linda and I to be back here, because that stake president role was at the University of Utah, and Ensign College had two wards in our stake at this time. So I was in this room a lot for worship services. So this is really sweet for me. So thank you for being here today. I want to just extend my greetings and my love to all of you here at Ensign College, and particular love and greetings to President and Sister Kush. They do such a remarkable job, and we love them as I know you do. And what a joy it is to worship together, which is really what we're doing in this devotional experience this morning. And I want to thank you for the invitation to attest. That's really what we're doing, our shared and very unequivocal witness of Jesus on this very beautiful spring day. Now, my hope today is to do that, couched in the stories of three very highly unlikely heroes, one of whom I think you know well, the next who is not so well known, and the other, well, let's just say the third is very much still a work in progress. So let's begin with the familiar. On September 30th, 1927, a man named George Herman Ruth did something extremely unlikely, if not impossible. It was the very last day of the Major League Baseball season, and in the eighth inning, the man who was nicknamed the Babe stepped to home plate and promptly crushed a Spalding baseball into the right field bleachers for his record-breaking 60th home run of the year. Now, like another man, Roger Bannister, who in 1954 ran a mile in under 4 minutes. Can you imagine that? I know you've been late running for track sometime, but a mile in under 4 minutes, which at the time was considered beyond the limits of human capability. Or Bob Beamon, his long jump in the Olympics, an unfathomable 29 feet, 2.5 inches. Can you imagine flying 30 feet in the air? Well, that's what Bob Beamon did. Like all those improbable things, Babe Ruth's dinger that day was a near unimaginable feat that would stand as a seemingly untouchable record for 34 years, along with his career total of 714 home runs, which, by the way, topped the record books for nearly four decades. So no wonder Babe Ruth was lauded as the greatest baseball player of the 20th century. And yet, Babe Ruth could rightly also be considered the most unlikely hero of the 20th century, despite these really lofty accomplishments. Why? Well, unlikely is defined in the dictionary as, quote, not likely to happen, to be done, or to be true, to be improbable, words which very accurately describe Babe Ruth's future based on his upbringing. Let me tell you a little bit about that upbringing. Born to immigrant parents in a rough neighborhood on the Baltimore waterfront on the East Coast, Ruth spent most of his childhood living above his father's saloon and dabbling in the bad habits which were practiced there, and often skipping school while he roamed the Baltimore waterfront looking for trouble, and most days having no trouble finding that trouble. Now, when his mother died from tuberculosis, the courts deemed Babe Ruth an incorrigible. Now, for those in this room who are just learning English, incorrigible behavior is defined as bad and impossible to change or improve. So, of course, he was then promptly sent off to St. Mary's Industrial School, which is a nice-sounding name for what was basically an orphanage for runaways and delinquents, which is where Babe Ruth's improbable story, which would have most likely ended up, both in tragedy and anonymity, as any chance of embracing a better life seemed all but impossible. But as Muhammad Ali, a man who also was unlikely and defied all the odds, once said, impossible is really just a word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Or, as the Lord reminds us, we ourselves are an underutilized resource, and that the key to tapping into that energy within us is that we need to be, as the scriptures say, anxiously engaged in good causes, such as our own self-improvement, because, as the scripture continues, the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves. Now, since all of us here today are agents unto themselves at Ensign College, I want to explore what that really means. And I do this especially for those of us who may justifiably feel they're facing really long, if not impossible, odds as we collectively stare down the seemingly long and bumpy and twisty road which lurks ahead for all of us in our futures. Now, I say this especially if you're feeling unlikely and uncertain about the direction, the speed, or even the buffeting headwinds which you may find your story facing. And I invite you to consider exploring that power that is within, even as you implore the heavens above you to help charter and change your destination. For I believe that it's at that intersection where we're most likely to find God's grace after all that we can do. Now, a good place to begin is by asking ourselves, what makes us unlikely? Or better put, what makes you feel that way? Why do we sometimes feel unworthy or even undeserving of the blessings we're entitled to? Who was it that put that label? Was it ourselves that put that label on top of ourselves? Do we feel, as the Apostle Paul so beautifully expressed it, less than the least of all the saints? Now, perhaps like Babe Ruth, you are a child of an immigrant or refugee family. Many of us come from Latin American countries, Asia, Africa, or the Pacific. And perhaps we buy into the myth that we'll never have the same opportunities as our North American classmates do. Now, maybe you're the first one in your family to attend college. And like me, maybe some of you come from a home without a father or a mother, and likely a few of you with no parents at all. Unfortunately, some of us may have been victims of unspeakable abuse or other crimes, or have witnessed horrific violence in your home, your neighborhood, or even your country. Others of us are learning English as a second or maybe even a third language and struggling to do so. I'm sure that more than a handful of you are, like me, the first and only members of the church in your family. And some gathered here today are fretting that they have no idea how they will pay their tuition next semester, or even sadder, where their next real meal will come from. Still others may be grappling with the very real and debilitating trauma or emotional pain of caused by anxiety or depression. And for some, it may be the crushing weight of unresolved and unrepented sin. Well, whatever it is that makes us feel unlikely, I have some good news and some, well, even better news for all of us. That's because our prophet, Russell M. Nelson, has boldly and unequivocally declared that the Lord uses the unlikely to accomplish the impossible. So the good news is that if you are a self-identified unlikely, a prophet of God has declared that we have the potential to accomplish some incredible, make that impossible things in our lives. And the even better news, well, clearly and unfortunately, all of us now have no excuse not to begin today, if you haven't already done so, to reach for and accomplish the never thought possible in our impossible lives ahead. To dare mighty dreams and to ascend to unimagined heights. In other words, there is no limit to our potential as a daughter or as a son of the living God. We can literally do anything we put our combined mind and the might of God to. The highest heavens might be our only limit. Or as the American President Franklin D. Roosevelt once observed, the only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today. So, need proof? Well, the scripture stories of unlikely characters accomplishing the unimaginable are myriad. There is landlubber Lehi being asked to build a ship, and then, oh, by the way, cross an ocean. And speaking of oceans, Moses dividing an ocean. David taking down a heavily armed giant without a sword or a shield. Emma and her unflinching testimony of seeing the actual gold plates. A servant of the king named Ammon, if I can use this word, disarming the robbers of his assigned flock. Or in more recent history, a poor and uneducated farm boy in upstate New York named Joseph, who in his confusion over his religious future admitted, quote, it was impossible to come to any certain conclusion who was right and who was wrong. And yet because of his humility and faith and a simple prayer, this unlikely lad was visited by the Father and the Son in a beautiful and sacred grove, swinging wide open the door of the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, as relatively young people yourselves, how will you achieve your impossible? I don't exactly know. But I do know that God does know. And I'm assured that with God, nothing is impossible. So a couple of things we know. We know it requires real faith, real Joseph-like faith, paired with humility that stands the test of time and the staunchness in storms. That's taught by the ancient prophet Moroni, who wisely counseled us, and if men and by inference sisters, women, come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble, that they may know that my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Now that strength spoken of by the Lord to Moroni mandates an unwavering belief in ourselves and stretch goals that will require every ounce of patience, diligence, and hard work that we can muster. And hard as all that sounds, we are to do it joyfully, as President Nelson has taught. Or as the Lord admonishes, quote, let us cheerfully do all things that lie in our power, and then we may stand still with the utmost assurance to see the salvation of God and for his arm to be revealed. Now, if we do it that way, the Lord's promise is clear. If we can cheerfully discipline ourselves now, to consistently do the relentless, heavy lifting and seemingly never-ending work of dream chasing, we will see those dreams come to pass in one fashion or another. That's the way Nelson Mandela, the unlikely and unequaled president of South Africa, so beautifully expressed it when he said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." Now, beyond an unyielding faith in ourselves and our God, triumphing as an underdog also usually requires a mentor, someone that you can count on to be at your side, someone that you can count on when you're down for the count. Ideally, this could be a friend, a coach, or even just someone who not only believes in you, but sees your greatness and long-term potential. Now, in Babe Ruth's case, it was one of the priests at the Catholic orphanage he was relegated to. This was a man known as Brother Matthias, and it was this man who took the time to throw that very first baseball to Babe and then observe his prodigious skills at hitting that same baseball in jaw-dropping fashion far beyond the walls of the orphanage. Now, many years later, Babe Ruth's daughter was asked why Brother Matthias had had such an impact on her father. She replied, when Babe was 23 years old, the entire world loved him, but when he was 13 years old, only Brother Matthias loved him. Now, don't we all wish for and need a Brother Matthias in our lives? Of course we do, which may have you asking, but where is my champion? Where's the person that I need in my unlikely story? Well, in an ideal universe, in God's ideal plan, happiness, his plan of happiness, that's usually apparent. But like Babe Ruth, and for many of us here today, including myself, if you don't have that blessing, I want to encourage you to patiently look around for the person or the persons the Lord has or will put in your path. And if you don't see that person just now, keep moving forward. Don't be stifled. Don't be in neutral. They might be just waiting at the very next intersection you encounter. Now, that could be your bishop, could be a faculty member, could be your ministering brother or sister. Or maybe it even could be that unlikely, improbable person who will cross our paths at an unexpected but opportune time if we are willing to do all that we can do to make that happen. Now remember that even In the least ideal circumstance, there's nothing stopping us from making the ideal our ideal, and especially if we pray for and expect a little assist from heaven. As Elder Richard G. Scott taught so powerfully, the Lord has placed currents of divine influence in your life that will lead you along the individual plan he would have you fulfill here on this earth. Seek through the Spirit to identify it and carefully follow that direction that the Lord has put in your life. Now, for example, Alma, mired in the midst of his despair and rejection, had such a divine influencer cross his path who would lead him to change the course of his ministry and also his life. This man named Amulek nourished and strengthened Alma with much needed food and drink. And while the scriptural account is incomplete about exactly what they discussed as they, quote, tarried many days together, Amulek no doubt also fed Alma's spirit, reminding him of his holy purposes and a promise to assist him in that effort. They would, of course, go on to be one of the most powerful and effective missionary companionships of all time. Now, this story also serves as a clarion call for modern-day Amuleks and Brother Matthiases to step up and be ready to succor the weak and lift up the hands which hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. Or as the mighty revelation on the priesthood enjoins us, quote, "And if any man among you be strong in the spirit, let him take with him that is weak, that he may be edified in all meekness, that he may also become strong also." All of which leads us to our second story today, also about another very unlikely person. His is one of those improbable, almost unimaginable stories whose ending is still being written. Now, this young man named Christopher Zoa was raised in one of the poorest regions of the world. Malawi is a landlocked country in Western Africa. It's a country so bereft of resources that every day nearly half of its 20 million person population suffer from food insecurity. When Christopher was only 8 years old, his mother died, forcing him and his brother to go to work sifting for sand from a nearby riverbed, which they would then sell for pennies to home builders. They did this backbreaking work day in and day out under the brutal, blistering Malawian sun while barely earning enough to keep themselves from starving. Christopher knew there not only had to be a better life than his day-to-day hand-to-mouth existence, he also sensed he personally had something of much importance to offer the world. But he also knew that this path that he was on right now was not the way that would lead him there. Well, then one day he ran into two curious Western-looking young men. Dressed unusually well for that country, they spoke in a language that Christopher could not understand. And yet in their unknown words was a clear and gentle power that Christopher could feel in his heart. Their words and their wisdom was something he wanted. And so, with no formal training, Christopher slowly and simultaneously learned the gospel and the English language. The truths of it sunk deep into his soul, so much so that he joyfully accepted baptism and began his journey on the covenant path as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, just a few years later, he was called as a missionary to serve in the Johannesburg, South Africa mission, which is where my wife and I first met Christopher, and where we watched as this unlikely missionary began to chase the impossible. But first, he would learn that getting on the pathway to the possible is not always easy or predictable. One day during his training in the Johannesburg Missionary Training Center, Christopher received his patriarchal blessing. And as with many Africans who don't have the luxury of a patriarch in their home district, Christopher was given his blessing in the MTC by a patriarch who knew nothing of his background, but clearly knew the mountain-moving mentality of this young man from Malawi. At the conclusion of the blessing, Christopher was grateful, but also incredibly perplexed. Said Christopher, "I felt like he had given me the wrong blessing. The blessing was true," Christopher would say, "but it was not meant for me. because most of the blessing focused on the education that I would one day receive and how important that would be to my future. Continuing, Christopher said, given my poor English and economic situation in Malawi, this blessing was for someone else. Now, little did he know it was for someone else, namely the determined, relentless, and destiny-seeking young man he was about to become. Now, Sister Dunn and I marveled as we observed his barely understandable English improve almost as fast as his testimony. Paired with English-speaking companions, Elder Zoa soaked up the language with his ears, even as he put his heart, might, mind, and strength into serving the Savior and the people of South Africa. Before long, he completed a faithful mission and then returned to Malawi in 2016, still clinging to this unlikely and, as most would say, impossible dream. Well, even before that patriarchal blessing, he knew he needed and desperately wanted an education if he was to provide for himself and someday realize his ultimate dream, which was giving back to those who needed a hand up. But the economic realities of Malawi were harsh and really discouraging for Christopher. Despite his very best efforts, the only employment Christopher could find in the next 6 weeks that followed was working as a security guard for $30 a month. Now, that's not even enough to feed, clothe, and house himself. But undaunted, he combined his faith with determination, and he began a pursuit of the impossible. He first applied to BYU Idaho, but when he took the English proficiency test, he failed. Undeterred, he waited 6 months, scrimped and saved for application fees, and studied that much harder. But again, he failed. Now, incredibly, he somehow mustered the gumption for a third attempt. And while his score improved, it wasn't enough. He was now running out of time, money, and even beginning to doubt himself. But then one night, as he had done on so many occasions before, he took his dilemma to the Lord. Pleading for guidance, he suddenly had a clear and very distinct impression. Why BYU Idaho now? What about, Christopher, a line-upon-line approach where BYU Idaho or another educational institution might be in the plan someday, but why not try to get into Ensign College and get an associate's degree and a possible bachelor's degree later on? Well, clearly this made sense, but how would he make all this work? Using literally the last of his hard-won savings and exercising perhaps the last few particles of his indomitable faith, he made application. Now, like you, I can only imagine his delight as he received word back that his English had improved enough to be accepted at Ensign College in the spring semester of 2023. That was the good news, and good news it was. The bad news was that he had no way of getting to the United States, let alone getting through the ordeal, which some of you can relate to, of getting a visa. Well, with his hopes fading, Christopher suddenly found his brother Matthias in his life. Make that a brother and sister Matthias to be more accurate. Let me explain. Just when he was asking Heavenly Father why he had been given this false hope of a Western education, Christopher's security assignment changed. And that's when he met Jack and Rhonda Rose, a senior couple living in the Zambia Lusaka mission, whose apartment Christopher was assigned to guard. Well, like Brother Matthias with Babe Ruth, as they slowly got to know Christopher, they saw the real and raw potential in this young man. But of course, what they didn't see was any way to find enough funding for Christopher's impossible dream. Between the cost of the F1 visa required, airfare from Malawi to Salt Lake City, not to mention tuition, books, and housing, and well, you know all about that. The prospects looked, to put it bluntly, impossible. But as Isaiah teaches us about the Lord's processes, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Well, those ways ended up including a crowdsourced funding effort organized by friends and neighbors of the Roses who joyfully stepped up to help this mighty man from Malawi. and gave him at least the chance to dream the impossible dream. Now, that unlikely man is here today as one of your cohorts, one of your classmates, along with his brother Matthias, or I should say sister Matthias, sister Rose. And Christopher and Sister Rose, would you mind just standing up so everybody wants to know that you're really here? We'd love to just honor you. Would you stand, please? And is it appropriate, President, to give them a round of applause? Thank you. Well, what about our third story? Here's the reality, folks. It is still being written. But I can tell you it looks as amazing and filled with intrigue and adventure at every turn as what we've just described. But like the Babes and Christophers, if it's done with care, it's likely to have a very happy ending. I know this because that third story is about you and me and, well, frankly, all of us. That is, unless I've already convinced you to understand that you are anything but unlikely, that you're ready to step up and, as the saying goes, take your swing. Which reminds me that it was Babe Ruth who is responsible for one of my very favorite idioms in the English language. It's the now common phrase, home run. Have you heard that, home run? It's defined as a complete and impressive success in an activity. So today, I call on all of you, unlikelies, to reevaluate and consider what it will take for you to accomplish your Babe Ruth-like home run. And then in more specific baseball parlance, swing for the fences. Now that might be finishing your degree, or even for me, especially just passing that impossible math class, which was the hardest thing I ever had to do in college. Maybe it's getting that first job or eventually starting your own business. Remember, your only limits are your imagination, your inspiration, and your willingness to work for it. So remember, as you do that, that job one is keeping Heavenly Father and Jesus at the center of your life, and then patiently working your way outward and also upward from there. That's when God will deliver on his definition of the unlimited possible, which is captured so elegantly in the scriptural promise, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now that's what I call your unlikely guarantee. And as for your mentor, your brother Matthias, your sister Rose, well, don't worry if he or she doesn't show up in the moment they are needed, or in the form that you exactly expect. Remember that our God has asserted that he will always be there for us. As the Lord has promised, "I will go before your face, and I will be on your right hand and on your left. My spirit shall be in your hearts, and mine angels round about you to bear you up." Now, I'm comforted that our very just and very merciful God promises that the last shall be first in a very unique and divine reordering of probabilities, unfairnesses, and even disadvantages. Even the inner harbor truant, Babe Ruth, understood this at a very early age. Said Babe Ruth near the end of his remarkable life, "God had an eye out for me just as he has for you, and he was pulling for me to make the grade." Now, I testify that God does indeed have his eye out for you, and that President Nelson's bold and remarkable promise that the Lord uses the unlikely to accomplish the impossible is true and bankable, that God's power is both within us and very much within our reach, that Jesus knows us, that he loves us and is ready to bless us beyond our understanding. May we have the vision and the hard work and determination of a Babe or a Christopher or, yes, even you, so that one of us can become that next overcoming the impossible story at Ensign College. Of this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.